Matthew chapter 2. So I think I covered everything that the pastor didn't cover. If he and I miss something, we kind of work good together. Because if I miss something, he falls in and vice versa. So, anyway, if I miss something, we'll catch it tonight. So be sure and be back tonight at 6 o'clock for the presentation. I know your heart will be blessed. Matthew chapter 2. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture that we read many times during this time of year. And we know this as to be the passage of Scripture dealing with Herod, dealing with the religious leaders, and also dealing with the Magi, or the wise men. So we begin reading with verse 1. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judea, or Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when he had found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. For being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed in their own country another way." Two verses of Scripture that our focus is this morning, and that is found in verse 3, where it says that Herod the king had heard and he was troubled. But not only was he troubled, but all of Jerusalem with him. And then verse 11, there's a contrast, because the wise men were not troubled, but they fell down and worshiped. What a contrast. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for this time together. We pray that you help me. May we bring honor and glory to Jesus. Touch hearts, we pray, for those that listen online as well as those that are here. And Lord, will you get glory? And we give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus had not even spoken a word, but yet he is the Word. Jesus had not performed a miracle, but yet his birth was a miracle. Jesus had not proclaimed a single doctrine, but we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And yet with all this, as a small child, he was despised. The Bible says that Herod was troubled. And the Jews were troubled as well. and they were simply troubled over Jesus and who Jesus was. And they were troubled at what was taking place. When Jesus was born into the world, people reacted. And we see the reaction here from Herod. But we also see the reaction from Jerusalem found in verse 3. But there's also another reaction that we see. And that is simply the wise men, because the Bible says they fell down and they worshiped him. And not only did they do that, they gave him presents. They gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. A contrast that we even see today. There are some that worship the Lord, and there are some that are still troubled by mentioning the name Jesus. I don't know if you've ever noticed or not, but a lot of times when trouble from the outside comes into the church, meaning an outsider that causes trouble, in many cases, they're Bible-believing churches. You don't see a lot of trouble. I'm not saying it's not there, but you don't see a lot of trouble in non-Bible-believing churches. What is the difference? It's Jesus. That is the difference. It's Jesus. Herod and those that were in Jerusalem were so near, but in reality, they were so far away. There are people today that I know personally in my life that was raised in a Christian home, raised with Christian values, raised on the gospel, but yet it's nowhere in their life. Near, but yet so far. So what things can we see about Herod? I want to spend a little time this morning with the two contrasts. And I hope that it can simply draw us just a little closer to Jesus. Herod went to them privately, it says, in verse 7. Now, he was a public figure. He was one that liked to be seen. He was one that was well known. He himself was even hated. But why in the world would he go to them privately? But he did. And I believe that he went to them privately because he had a plan. His wheels were turning. His mind was trying to figure out, how can I destroy Jesus? I don't think he would say that publicly. But I think he would say it privately, so he had a plan. And not only is his plan to the point of trying to destroy Jesus, but he also was a leader. And this leader was going to them under false pretense. In other words, he went to them privately and he said, look, and I'm paraphrasing, when you find Jesus, I want you to go, and when you find him, come back and tell me so I can worship him. But yet we know, based on the scriptures and based on the frustration and the anger, he didn't want to worship Jesus. He wanted to destroy Jesus. He didn't like the fact that his throne, Herod the king, his throne in his mind, someone was going to try to take it. Now, I want you to consider something. Every leader, every king, every person that is a higher up whether they be an elected official or whether they be an appointed official or whether it be in their bloodline, but every king throughout history, they all have one thing in common, or will soon have one thing in common, and that is the fact that they will all die. Jesus not only died, but he rose on the third day. So he lives. And Herod was troubled. And Herod didn't like the, in his mind, the competition that was put before him. You got to keep in mind that these wise men came looking for Jesus. They didn't come looking for Herod. They came looking for Jesus. And I'm sure Herod in his mind was thinking to himself, well, wait a minute. I'm king. Why don't you come and worship me? But no, they wanted to see Jesus. And I trust that we ourselves in our own lives want to see Jesus. You know, we can have people that we admire. We can have people that we look up to. And all those things are important, but no one should ever take the place of Jesus Christ. You see, he had alternative motives. He was trying to defeat Jesus. He not only was interested in defeating, but he also was interested in just simply destroying him. We see that as Herod was seeking the young children. Once he realized that he wasn't going to see Jesus. His motives was not to worship, but his motives were to destroy. Verse 16 says, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, his exceeding wrath, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in the coast thereof, for 2 years old and younger. And that's exactly what he wanted to do. Herod, the presence of Jesus had an effect on him. And it wasn't a good effect. But yet his mind and his heart was so hardened, he didn't see what the wise men saw. He didn't see what the wise men saw. All he saw was that his position was threatened, that someone else was king. And they came to worship Jesus, but not worship him. It seems to me today that so many people are so troubled about Jesus Christ, the one that is the light of the world, the one that is the giver of life, the one that is the giver of peace, peace in your heart. I can't explain the peace, but I can feel the peace. I can't explain that when you're going through a tough time and when things are hard around you, you can look to Jesus and he gives you that peace that passes all understanding. But I've experienced it. And it's because of Jesus. The contrast of those that were troubled in the sight of Jesus. And we see that even today. I mean, it doesn't take much to look around. It doesn't take much to see how that values have changed. Households have changed. Doing right has changed. And how that things are accepted now that you wouldn't have even thought of in years past, and how that the ideas are coming into your home privately. You're there and you're watching and you're seeing the things that are being advertised and you're seeing the things and it's filtrating the mind, doing it privately. Kind of like Herod, wasn't it? Trying to filtrate the wise men's mind, saying, look, as soon as you find Jesus, tell me. and I'll come and worship him. But yet, thank the Lord that he spoke to the wise men. And after they saw Jesus, they had changed lives and they went the other way. And that's exactly what Jesus will do. He will change your life. Amen. You know, when you start talking to somebody about a life being changed, they kind of look at you. It's kind of like our little dog. When you're talking to our little dog and he's really wanting to understand, he'll cock his head, you know, and he'll it's like I really think sometimes he understands what we're saying. Well, when you start talking to somebody who don't know Christ, we have to remember that we have experienced Jesus. Those that we're talking to have not. So when they look at you kind of like, is that for real? And they kind of cock their head and they're like, really? He can give you that peace that passes all understanding. He can help you in this matter or that matter, and he can do this for you. And I say, yes, he can. Because he's Jesus. He's Jesus. So people become troubled at the name Jesus. People become troubled about his presence, much like Herod and those in Jerusalem. But let me say this. There's no middle ground. You either reject him or you worship him. There's no middle ground. And that was hard for me to understand many years ago. That was hard for me to understand because I would think to my mind, well, I really haven't done anything before I got saved. And people would make that statement. And I would think to myself, well, I didn't think I was too bad. And I haven't done what others have done. And so I knew who Jesus was. I knew the person as far as, I was raised in a Christian home. Jesus was the forerunner. But I wasn't saved, and I didn't think that I had done too bad. So when somebody said you either accept him or reject him, I didn't understand that. But now I do. Because there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore you must receive the gift and salvation that he offers. And if you're not receiving that, then you're rejecting that. Herod gives us an example of someone rejecting Jesus. And even though he made it sound good and he went under false pretenses, he still was rejecting Jesus Christ. And I'll admit that in years gone by, Christmas didn't seem to have the meaning that it has now. Everything changed when you know the one that was born to die. When he became my Savior, everything changed. I remember when I was in grade school, teacher said one time, I need you to write down, what does Christmas mean to you? A lot of teachers couldn't say that now. They would say, what does the holidays mean? But that's what was said. What does Christmas mean to you? And I don't remember what I said, but I wasn't saved. So I doubt very seriously that I wrote down Jesus, the manger, Bethlehem, virgin born, came to die. And I don't picture myself as saying that, but I would probably say something like, Christmas trees and lights and presents and meals, family getting together. And all those things are good. But what's most important is knowing Jesus. And that's when Christmas becomes real. It's when you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. So hurriedly, this morning we look at the wise men. The wise men came from the east and traveled a great distance. And they came to worship him. And we call this so far but yet so near, because they came on a mission. They were seeking a king, verse 2 tells us. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? And asked that question. And then they had a mission, and their mission was to worship him. These men were those that were seeking knowledge and wisdom. Some might consider these wise men unlikely people, but yet they came to worship him. That should be our mission every day, is to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That should be our mission every day, is to worship him. You see, they had a star, and the star was shining. John chapter 8, verse 12. The Bible says, "Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The star. What a sight and what a wonder. The light of Jesus can shine to those without Christ. I think of another passage of Scripture found in John chapter 1. The Bible says in verses 9, "That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But notice what it says, but as many as receive him, gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." The true light. The light of Jesus. The light of Jesus. Unlikely men. An unlikely place. But they were not too far to find Jesus. They were not too far to find Jesus. I'm thinking of two different accounts this morning. And you know these two accounts very well. They're both found in the book of Acts. One account, the individual had great knowledge. He had a high position. And he was a man of authority. He was a man that someone would listen to. And Jesus changed his life. And he became one of the greatest preachers in Bible history, and that was Paul. Because Jesus changed his life. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9 gives us that account. And we won't take time to read it this morning, but it gives us that account. You know it quite well. He was a persecutor turned preacher because of Jesus. A persecutor turned preacher because of Jesus. He was so far, but yet not too far from Christ, that Christ got a hold of his heart and changed his life. Changed his life. The other account that I think of this morning is found in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Just before a man was to take his own life, Jesus got a hold of that life. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. The prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed." And notice what verse 27 says. "And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled." It was almost like he was saying to himself, "Is my only option is to take my life." But you know something? It's not the only option. The option is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. You see, he came to Jesus. And notice what Paul did. He cried out with a loud voice because he saw what was taking place. Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then notice what verse 29 says. Then he called for a light. And I think about that, and I know the idea here was the light that so he could see. But I also look at the light of Jesus Christ that began to shine and make a difference in his heart. You see, when I see that scripture of him calling for the light, I think of the fact that Jesus is the light. And the Bible says, and he brought them out, verse 30, and says, sirs, one of the greatest questions in the scriptures, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And it was pretty simple. A very simple answer. But yet it changed a life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Only Jesus can change a troubled heart. You know, we look for a lot of ways when we're troubled about something. We try to come up with plans and we try to do this and we try to do that. And we talk to individuals and you know something, I don't know of any plan when I'm troubled about something. I don't know of any plan that has made a difference, but I know someone who will make a difference. It's Jesus. Only Jesus can change a troubled heart. Herod chose to get angry. But the wise men chose to worship. The wise men left a different way after seeing Jesus. So our challenge this morning is no matter how far you might have drifted. And you know, there's things out there that will cause you to drift. It's evident. It's happened in my life. And sometimes those things become the front runner of what's on your mind. And that pushes Christ away that much farther. But keep in mind, our Lord hasn't gone anywhere. But it's us that drifts away from Him. So our challenge tonight is no matter what, or this morning, no matter what is in our hearts, no matter what is troubling us, let me invite you this morning to just spend time and fall down and worship Him and put Him in front of these troubles. It's a choice that we all have to make. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, let me invite you that He will change your life. He will make a difference. And people will see a difference. No matter how far, Jesus is the light. And let us be this morning like the wise men who go out a different person as we leave this place this morning. Go out a different person, one that has worshiped our Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. And Father, as we have this invitation, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to hearts. And Lord, you know our hearts. You knew what Herod was doing. And you knew why the wise men came. And you know why we're here this morning. Lord, if you have spoken to hearts this morning in any way, Lord, I pray that they'll come. Help us to leave different people. Because we've come to worship you. It's not about us this morning, but it's about Jesus. So Father, I pray that you'll help us. And I pray that you'll bless this invitation. And Lord, we praise you this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.